Through 1 Samuel, and that is right before 2 Samuel, if you're wondering where that is. In your Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 17. How many of you have heard of David and Goliath? Can I see your hand? Wow. How many of you have never heard of David and Goliath? So, the first time there was a lot of people. How many of you did not raise your hand the first time? Can I see your hands? You know, I have a friend that goes to church and he says, doesn't matter what they ask in church, never, ever, ever raise your hand. They're trying to trick you. He said, his name's Micah, and he said, they could say, if there's a person here named Micah Garner, raise your hand, and I would not raise my hand. And a lot of people follow that. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you look at the front of your bulletin this morning, we are starting a sermon series called Facing the Giants, and the front of the bulletin has a picture of a valley, okay? And this story takes place in a valley very similar to the one on the front of the bulletin. Look here, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoco and Azekiah and Ephesdim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood one on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. So if you see that bulletin, you imagine two armies there. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants, and if I prevail against him and kill him, then ye shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. You see the challenge. Verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And verse 16, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And so then David's coming to bring his brothers some food there on the battlefield. And he comes up and he hears this Philistine saying these things. Send a man out that he'll fight us. Morning and evening, and he hears this over and over. And David comes up and he hears it and he's like, why doesn't somebody stop him? Why doesn't somebody shut him up? And his brother says, oh, you're just come out here to see the battle and to, you know, when you drive past a wreck and you always slow down and you look at the people in the wreck. He said, that's what you're doing, David. You just come down here to see the battle. You need to go home where you belong. And then in verse 29, David says, is there not a cause? And then he says to Saul, I'm going to go fight Goliath, right? And Saul said, you can't do it. You're just a youth. And he was a man of war from his youth. And David told Saul, he said, I slew a lion and a bear that came against me about my father's flock and to keep the kids safe. And he said, the same Lord that delivered me out of the lion and the bear, the hand of them, he'll deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And you know the rest of the story, that the Philistine came, David got a spear, he didn't take Saul's coat and armor, but he got his slingshot and 5 smooth stones, and he went and knocked the giant down, and then he cut off his head. Praise the Lord, right? But so we're going to look at this morning, and before we get started here, Brother Mark, you have the microphone there in the back, the handheld microphone. Can you please ask the blessing on this sermon this morning?
Thank you, Father in heaven, for a wonderful day, the beautiful weather and the rain that our land received this week. I do pray, Lord, that your blessing be upon the message. Lord, I know our pastor has studied. I know he has prayed over what you should have him to speak about. I pray, Lord, that our hearts be receptive to it, Lord. Thank you for this time and for your word that we can gather together to worship and to learn. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So if you imagine this army is in array, there's an army on each side of the hill. And there's this army. Now, keep in mind, one of the armies was the army of Israel. And they were God's army. They were the salvation army. They were the Lord's army, right? And you know what had been demonstrated by the Lord throughout history? That wherever this army of Israel was, whether it was helpless with no weapons on the sea coast of the Red Sea, and Pharaoh, the most powerful army in the world, was coming against them, God had demonstrated continually that he would fight for them and deliver them. If it was there, or if it was Gideon, and the Midianite had a host, thousands and thousands of people, and Gideon only had 300 men, and the Lord delivered Gideon and delivered the Midians into his hands, and he whooped them with 300 men, right? So here is an army that knows the promises of God and has seen God deliver them time and time and time again in the past. And yet, here's an army, and they are absolutely paralyzed and ineffective because they had a problem they could not get past. You see that? What was the name of their problem? Goliath. So this one giant, this one thing in their life, rendered the entire army ineffective. That giant. Now, here's the thing. We all face giants in our life. We all face things in our life. A giant is something that is big in your life, that looms big. A giant is an insurmountable problem, an issue that you're facing that you do not know what to do with. You cannot handle it. It's a person, a place, or a thing that seems too big to conquer. And we try many times in life to conquer these giants, but they seem to grow stronger with the passing of time. And I don't know what your giant is, but it could be a giant of fear, could be a giant of anxiety or depression, could be a giant of your past, a giant of anger or bitterness or jealousy or envy, or it might be a personal sin. Something that has you entrapped. Something you fall in again and again. It might be a sin of pride. You know, pride is not something the Lord takes lightly. And pride is something that we're full of in our churches. And it doesn't get preached against that much. We preach against drugs and alcohol all the time to the people that don't drink and don't do drugs. They're just full of pride. Amen? And maybe your sin is something like that, or envy, or gluttony, or lust, or something else, but it might be a giant of addiction, something that has a grip on your life. But I'll tell you this, is I don't know what it is, but everyone in life has to deal with something big and something gigantic and a giant. And I don't know if you've ever been there where you just had something so big and you just didn't see any way around it. And it's something that always seems to stop you and hold you back. You ever been where you say, life is so good, except. Life is so good, but I just have this. You know, life would be so enjoyable, but there's a giant here in my life. All this army, this powerful army could see when they looked out, was a man that was bigger than Shaq. They saw a man that 9'6" tall. And he wasn't wearing yoga pants either. Can you imagine? 9'6" tall. That's like twice as tall as I am. I didn't do the math well on that, but it's huge, right? And he's covered with armor and man, he put the B in big. And he had the spear the size of a tree. And they just could not see any possible way to defeat them. Now, I don't know about you, but I have been there spiritually speaking. Absolutely. Where I have faced things that just seemed too big to conquer, and I saw no way, and they were things that were messing up my life. Now, I want to preach a message, a series of messages on different giants we face, and I don't know if I'll cover your giant or not during this series, but we'll do our best to help you deal with those things. But I do know this. In order to conquer your giant, number one, you have to recognize your giant. You cannot conquer him. You cannot get him out of your life. You cannot destroy him until you recognize him, identify him, and you are able to name him. Can you name your giant? Can you write his name down? Goliath. And then whatever your sin is, whatever your problem is, can you write the name of your giant down? Say, well, I don't know what the giant is. Well, let me help you from the Bible be able to absolutely identify your giant. Look at verse 16. You must recognize your giant. And look in verse 16. The Bible says here that 17 and verse 16, the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself how many days? You know what your giant is? It's something that you often refuse to face. Saul was the king of Israel. And morning and evening for 40 days, Goliath went out there and mocked Saul and called him by name. Saul stood head and shoulders above the rest of the Israelites. If there's anybody that should have faced Goliath and fought against Goliath, it was Saul. He'd go out there and mock him. And he'd say, "You can't get me." You know, Goliath, if you read the original Hebrew, he had the same attitude that Floyd Mayweather did. That's not true, but... Amen? I mean, he had this attitude. He had a chip on his shoulder. He was so full of himself that he was spilling over Goliath. I mean, he would go out there and taunt and mock. It was every day, it was like watching these WWE things, the fake wrestling, like Goldberg and all that stuff, you know? I don't care how big a boy are you. I'll put a pop knot on your head so high you could tie a boat anchor to it. Amen? I'll be all over you like a sweat bee on a soda straw. And he would go over there and he would mock him and taunt him and make fun of him, and he would curse God and he would defy the armies of Israel and he would curse and profane him. You know how many times he did that? 80 times. Morning and evening. For 40 days. 80 times. I don't know if you've ever been bullied, but I don't think you've been bullied 80 times. I grew up around the Amish people, and there was this big, ugly Amish person. I mean, he must have been related to Goliath. He was the ugliest person I've ever seen in my life. Still is to this day. I hope he's listening. Amen? You know who you are. And, boy, he was like 21 years old, and I'm this little kid, and he would always bully me, and he would call me the stupid English boy. Amen? And I said, "Well, what do you think you are? You're a blue blood?" Well, he'd make fun of me, and one time we were digging a grave for another dead Amish person, and he said, "The dead Amish guy's worth more than you are," and he threw me in the grave. And I can't get out. It's 12 feet deep. And he'd laugh at me and he'd throw dirt at me. And then one time it flooded and we're driving around picking up trash and he'd grab me by my feet and we're going down the road with these horses going down the road on a flatbed wagon and he'd grab my feet and swing me over his head while we're going down the highway with these horses. I hated him and I couldn't stand him. And thank God I grew up and I drove past him and there he is on his stupid little bicycle riding. I said, "Ha ha, I got a car now, I can run you over." But hey, listen, I don't know if you've been bullied, but I've been bullied and I hated it. But I've never been bullied 80 times in a row. And you know what? Back when Goliath was bullying Saul, they didn't have an anti-bullying coalition. They did not have an eyewitness emoji that you could put on your Facebook feed that you were a witness to bullying. There was nothing you could do, at least Saul's perspective. And you know what happened? All this stuff was going on, and you know what Saul did? Nothing. Nothing. He did absolutely nothing. You know what the armies of Israel did? Nothing. You know what Eliab did? Nothing. They didn't pray. They didn't shoot arrows. They didn't throw rocks at him. They didn't drink Red Bull and yell at him. They didn't beat their chest. They didn't throw rotten tomatoes at him. They didn't do anything. They didn't even stick out their tongue at him. They did nothing. Because they were afraid. Now here, there are things in our life that we know are wrong. And you know how you know you're facing a giant? Because you do not face it. A giant is something oftentimes you refuse to face. It's something that you put up with. And it's something that you know it's wrong and you know it should be stopped. And you know it must end. But when you think about that giant and facing it, you do not know what to do. And you're scared, so you allow it to continue. Listen very carefully. What you allow will continue. It will continue. As long as that giant is there bullying you, and you continue to allow him, and allow it, and allow whatever it is, and you do not stand up to it, and you don't face it, it will continue. As long as you refuse to acknowledge it, and name it, and face it, and do something about it, it will continue in your life as long as you live. And if there's anything I've learned in the decade of my 30s, is that I have to face things that I ignored in my teens and 20s, hoping they would go away. They are not going to go away until I face them and take them head on and do something about it. And I don't know what giant is in your life, but he's not just going to disappear. You have to face him. You have to face him. You have to take him head on. You know, there's bad relationships. People call me and they're upset about how they're being treated. And they're arguing with one another and they're not even married. And I say to them, I said, why do you put up with this? You're mad at them. Why don't you take some accountability? How do you allow yourself to be treated like this? Why don't you stand up and say something and do something? You're just as guilty. You're not taking any accountability. At the very least, Saul should have said, that's my God you're talking about, and I will not allow you to do it. You shut up, you big windbag. And I do not care if I die trying. I will bring you down, or God will bring you down. But one thing for sure, Mr. Goliath, you are going down, and I have a book that says it. You're going down. Let me ask you, is there anything in your life that you refuse to face? Is there anything in your life you refuse to deal with? Has the Lord ever come to you in a still small voice and said something to you, and he'll let you know what you need to do, and you ignore it? You know what you need to do? You need to take accountability and face it. You want to recognize your giant. You have to recognize him, and you have to take accountability. You have to name him, and you have to face him. Maybe it's abuse. You know how much abuse continues because the victim will not face the giant? Won't do something about it? You know what you do? You stand up. It's better to die standing up than continue to be bullied by a giant the rest of your life. I don't know, maybe it's an improper relationship you know is wrong, and instead of facing it because of what other people will say or whatever, you allow it to continue. Is there anything you refuse to face? That's how you recognize your giant. You recognize it by seeing if it's something you refuse to face. A giant is also something that often controls your emotions. Look at verse 11. And when Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly what? Afraid. Look at verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and they were sore what? You know what giants do? They control your emotions. They saw the giant, and you know what happened? They started shaking in their boots. They thought the worst thing they could think of was having to confront him. You know what they said? If we do that, then this might happen, and this might happen, and this might happen. And what would happen? You know, listen. When you know what God wants you to do, and you start calculating, you're doing the wrong thing. You know what that is? That's a giant that's controlling your emotions. I know they shouldn't be doing this, but if I say this, then you know what's going to happen? They're going to say this, and da-da-da-da-da, and this is going to happen, this is going to happen, then I'm going to lose my job, and then I'm going to get kicked out of church, and then this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and you start calculating. That God, listen, God wants you to fight Goliath and leave the results up to Him. He wants you to do the right thing and stop calculating. Stop contemplating. Do not try to work things out in the flesh. That's not your job. You face the giant and leave the results to God. Do not let the giant control your emotions. You know what you do? That's how you know it is. It controls your... let me ask you, the giant that you're facing, could you tell a trusted friend? Could you say, Brother Phil, you know, I have this giant I'm facing in life, and I need some help. I need to talk to you about it. Could you tell your pastor? Could you tell a trusted friend? You know what? I really got a problem with this. What would happen? Can you tell your wife? Can you tell your spouse? Can you tell your husband? You know what happens when you think about that giant and I need to talk to them about it and I need to tell them about it and I need to talk to someone about it? You know what happens? You start shaking in your boots, just like they did when they saw Goliath. If you want to recognize your giant, recognize that it is something that oftentimes controls your emotions. I want you to know this. Refusing to acknowledge him doesn't make him go away. He's still there. I want you to know this. When you're facing a giant and you know what is right, there is no agreeing to disagree with Goliath. If you're ever going to defeat a giant, guess what there's going to be? There's going to be a war. There's going to be a bloodshed. And there's going to be a giant's head that's rolling around on the ground because you hacked it off with a sword. And it's not going to be pretty. And you know what happens so many times? People want everything nice and clean and smooth. That's not how war is. That's not how you defeat giants. It's going to be messy. But you know what? Don't let it stop you. Don't let it control your fear. Fear not them which are able to kill the body, but fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul forever. You know what the Lord told Joshua and them when they were facing these giants? He said, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. You need to fear the Lord more than consequences. How many times have we counseled people, brother, and told them what was right? And either they needed to end a relationship that wasn't God-honoring, or they needed to stop an activity that was sinful, or they needed to tell someone about their sin and infidelity, or they needed to forgive somebody, or they needed to confess something to somebody, or they needed to go confront somebody and talk to somebody to make the thing right, and fear came over their face, and they started worrying and shaking in their boots, and they refused to do it. How many times has that happened? Hundreds and hundreds of times. If you're ever going to face your giant, you have to get to the point where you say, I would rather die than be bullied by this giant. You have to get to the point where I don't care what I lose or how much it costs me. I would rather be right with God and right with my brothers and sisters and right with my family. I would rather be honest than rich. I would rather be right and single than lying and in a relationship. What are you doing? Living a lie? Don't live a lie. Face the giant. Don't let him control you. It's often something you refuse to face, recognizing your giant. It's often something that controls your emotions, and it's also something that oftentimes eats up your resources. How much money does it take to feed an army for 40 days and keep the war machine going for more than a month on the battlefield? MREs are expensive. They don't taste good either. And we can buy them less than the military buys them for. Isn't that crazy? We can buy them for like $300. They pay like $3,000 a piece for them. I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you what, it's expensive to feed a bunch of soldiers on a battlefield. And you know what that giant was doing for those 40 days that they refused to face him? He was eating up their resources. For 40 days, they were not with their family. For 40 days, they were not at the tabernacle. For 40 days, they did not tend to their crops. A giant will keep you from the things where you are the most productive. It will keep you from doing what the Lord called you to do. And you will spend more time with the giant than you will spend with your family. You will spend more time with the giant and pay more attention to him than your wife and your kids, because that giant controls you. He'll eat up your resources. How many times have people been devastated by feeding their giant? How many of you heard of the white Indian, the white elephant from India? In India, they say, and I don't know if it's a true story, but sometimes when the king wanted to destroy someone, he would give them a gift of a white elephant. And they worshiped these animals, and they thought, I cannot give them away because it was a gift. And I can't kill it because it's a god. So you know what the purpose of my life becomes? It becomes feeding this elephant. And they would sell all their lands and all their properties and spend everything they had to feeding this elephant. They would be standing in the food line to try to feed themselves, because this gift, this white elephant that was given to them, took all their resources to fill it. And you know what you need to do? You need to get wise and kill the white elephant. And stop feeding your giant. And stop letting him take up your resources. You need to stop spending time with Goliath and start spending time with the Lord. Stop spending time with Goliath and your kids and your family. Hey, if you have a giant in your life, you know what's happening? You bring in much, and it goes into a bag with holes on it, and it all disappears. It's eating you up. It's controlling your resources. I meet people and they're mad at other people. And you know what? They never do nothing for the Lord. They wake up in the morning and they think about the person they're mad at. They go to bed at night and they think about the person they're mad at. They come to church and they sit and stare at the person they're mad at. You know what you are? You're feeding a giant. You're letting them steal your peace and your joy. You're letting them steal all your resources. You know, I'll tell you what. I meet people all the time. They used to do something for the Lord and now they don't. Envy, jealousy, anger. You're fooling yourself. You have a giant in your life. You know, I meet people all the time that live in perverted homosexual lifestyles. And you know what they try to do all the time? They try to normalize it. Every conversation they tell you, they say, oh, you know what, but I'm gay or I'm this or that. And it controls every aspect of their life. It's what defines them, and it is what every conversation's about. It their identity. It controls every thought, every motion, every conversation, every article of clothing. It controls the way they talk. There is no separation between them and their giant, eating up their resources. And then the other thing you need to see about that giant is you often meet him. You recognize him, he often comes in the valley. When you're at down, When you're at the low part of your life, he drains your energy and he won't go away. You know what? He shows up in the morning and he won't let you go at night. Everyone of us in here is dealing with, has dealt with, or will deal with a giant. Can you name it? Can you recognize it? Is there something that controls your every thought, your every action? Is there something that you put all your energy into hiding? Then that, my friend, is your giant. So number one, you must recognize it. Number two of 17, you must recognize that your giant can be defeated. You know what David did in verse 32 through 37? He comes up there and he says, who's this uncircumcised Philistine that he can defy my God? He said, don't let anyone's heart fail him. I'll fight him and I'll go out there and fight him. Saul was scared. Eliab was scared. But you know what David knew? He knew the giant could be defeated because of past victories that the Lord gave him. You know what the Lord did? He died on the cross. On that cross, he won war over sin. He won the war over death. And he won the war over the devil. Is that not true? He's already defeated the giant. And you know what? He is the one that fought the giant. He said, I come to you against you in the name of the Lord. Isn't that what he said? He's the one that fought the giant. God's the one that fights him. And all he needs you to do is face them so he can fight them. I want you to know that that giant in your life can be defeated. The Christian life is one of victory. And if you're facing a giant, I want you to know he's already been defeated. Now here's the thing. The chapter prior to this, or a couple chapters there, Samuel came to David, and guess what he did? He anointed him the next king of Israel. Did he not? Okay? So God, through Samuel, promised David that he would be the next king of Israel. Now, does God lie? Now, if that is true, would it have been possible for the giant to kill David? It wasn't possible. You know why? He had a promise that he was going to be the king. Isn't that true? Remember Abraham, he goes up to the mountain and he goes to stick the knife in his boy. And you know what he said? He said, I believe God and God can raise him from the dead if he wants to, but I'm not worried about it because God promised me a seed through this boy and it's going to happen. Let me ask you this. Do you think the Lord wants you to be bullied by your giant all your life? Do you not think your giant can be defeated? Do you think the Lord wants you to win? Do you think the Lord has already fought it? Didn't he come and he said, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world? Didn't he come that he said he might set his people free from their sin? You know why you can't defeat your giant? Because you do not believe that he can be defeated. You don't believe it. You know what every man that's trapped in the sin of lust says? Well, we're just a man. Every man has a problem with it. Every man, I'm sorry, that's just the way men are. We're all pigs. You're an idiot. I don't care if Goliath has Saul scared and every Israelite soldier in the army of Israel. There's a David somewhere that will overcome that Goliath. You can defeat the giant in your life, not in your own power, but in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. David didn't come against the giant in his own name. He didn't try to take the bull by the horns. He came in the name of the Lord. You know what David knew about that giant? That giant, he called him the uncircumcised Philistine. That was a sign of a covenant between God and his people that gave them the promise of the land. And that giant was standing between them and what God has promised them, and he would be defeated. And your giant is standing between you and what God has given you and promised you. And whether you defeat him through the power of the Lord or the Lord defeats him after you die, he will be defeated and he is going down and he's already defeated. Believe that your giant can be defeated. I don't care what it is. I don't care if you're so angry at somebody every time you look at them, the veins pop out on your head. I don't care if you're so bitter and jealous and angry. I don't care if you're locked in a horrible relationship, if you're in a perverted lifestyle, if you're addicted to drugs, if you're an alcoholic. You know what I don't believe? You hear those Alcoholics Anonymous, they say, "Hi, my name's James and I'm an alcoholic. I've been an alcoholic for 40 years and I haven't had a drink in 20. "Hi, I'm James. I'm an alcoholic. That's all I'll ever be. I'm a man. I'm addicted to lust. That's all I'll ever be. I'm a woman. I hate every other woman. I'm a woman. That's what I have to be." I don't believe that, but you guys do. You laughed. Shame on you. You know what? The Lord Jesus Christ can say, "Hi, my name's Bez. I was once blind, but now I see." You know what the Lord can do? He can help you defeat your giant, but you have to believe that he's defeatable. The only way you pass a level on Mario is you believe you can pass it. You keep trying till you do it. When I first did it, I'd get to that end of the Mario thing where he's going through the castle to rescue the princes and all the fires coming up. And I said, "Nobody can do this. They have made a game that can't be beaten." And here my friend is. And then he delivers the princess. And I said, "It can be done." And you know what? Your giant absolutely can be defeated. He can control everyone else, but he does not have to control you. You must recognize your giant. You must recognize that he can be defeated. And the last thing I'll say here is you must realize how you deal with your giant determines your outcome. There are two men here. And they have, one's name is Saul, and one's name is David. And from this point in time, these two men have very different futures, do they not? One spent his life fighting the Lord's battles, and the other spent his life trying to protect his kingdom and his own interests, and he spent his life fighting his own battles. One of them left a godly legacy and became the ancestor to Jesus Christ. That's David. The other died in shame and ate his last meal with a witch. One was a king, and one was a pizza delivery man, because he brought bread and cheese, and bread and cheese is pizza. And let me tell you this. You don't have to be a king to defeat your giant. You can be a pizza delivery man. You can be bread and cheese, and that's your only purpose. You're bringing bread and cheese, and you can defeat the giant. One fought the giant, and the other fought his friends and family. Look at this verse. It's very, very interesting. 18, one chapter over, in verse 28. David kills Goliath. He goes home. All the people are dancing, and they're saying, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And David was the hometown hero. And Saul had to pen a medal of honor on him. And look what happens here in verse 18 and verse 28. "And Saul knew that the Lord was with David, and then Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's" what? Listen, if you don't fight the real enemy, you'll fight your friends and family. You'll either fight... You know what David said? He said, "Why are you..." He's running from Saul on the mountain, and he says, "Why are you coming? Are you come after a dead dog? Are you come after a flea? You're like a person hunting a partridge in a mountain." He said that. You know what Goliath spent his life doing? Dodging giants and fighting fleas. He spent more time fighting David about the giant than he spent fighting the giant. And you know what so many of you do and we do is somebody will point out a giant in our life and we will fight them about that giant, but we won't fight the giant. We'll fight David and get angry at David and we'll try to protect our kingdom and this man's after me. David was never after Saul. David never wanted to kill Saul and never wanted to take his kingdom away. He said, I will not touch God's anointed. And he would never do it. But you know what Saul did? He spent his lifetime after David because he was trying to protect his kingdom and his own self-interest. And if he would have put his energy into fighting Goliath instead of David, there may have been a different outcome. It'd be amazing if the church would put more energy into fighting Goliath than they do each other. We're independent Baptists, and you know what they all do? They all hate one another and talk about one another and preach about one another. Listen, stop chasing fleas. Fight the real giant, your adversary, the devil that's a roaring lion, and he seeketh whom he may devour you. Stop running after fleas and dead dogs and fight the Lord's battles. Stop fighting with your wife or your husband because they're upset with you about something you're doing and fight the giant in your life. You got to fight him. We can be so blinded to the real enemy. You know what you have to do? You have to deal with him spiritually. You have to deal with him honestly. You have to deal with him practically. And you have to deal with him completely. You know what Saul did? David did? He got his sword out and cut the giant's head off. Now, I don't know. He had a big neck, you know? And David was a little feller, just a strapling, right? And he pulled that sword out. It was probably so big he could barely hold it. And you know what he did with that sword? He went over there to the giant. You ever see those movies where at the end of the movie the hero kills the bad guy and he starts walking away and he's like, yeah, I did it. And then the bad guy resurrects and comes from behind and they're like, look, he's going to get you. Have you ever seen that? David had watched all those movies. And so he knew he had to take care of this. And so he gets this sword out and he goes over to the giant. And you know, I don't think he got the head off with one whack. I think he had to hack and hack and hack. You say, this is a horrible sermon. Listen. You have to deal with your giant and you have to deal with him completely and you have to keep hacking and hacking and hacking away until he lies there completely dead and defeated. And the Lord will help you do it. I want you, in closing, I want you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 31. And I want you to know this. Whatever your giant is, you will either defeat him or he will defeat you. You will either kill him or he will kill you. It will be your victory and you'll be a man after God's own heart like David, or it will be your death. And I do not know what your giant is, but everybody I've ever seen ignore their giant. Their teens and 20s ignore it, don't get it right. They get into their 30s. And you know what happens? That giant ruins their life. It messes up their marriage. It messes up their job. Deal with your giant. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 31 and verse 4. The Bible says, look at 31 and verse 1. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Aminadab and Mashgula, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was wounded of the archers. Who are these people he's fighting? The Philistines. He didn't fight them at the first, right? He refused to fight them. Okay? He refused to fight Goliath, and now he's in his inevitable life at the battle with the same people. Look at verse 4. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw the sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me." But his armor would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell on it. You know what that is? That's suicide. He killed himself rather than facing his giant. And I know there are so many people, you will do anything besides face your giant. You will not admit it. You won't name it. You won't talk to people about it. You won't seek the help of the Lord on it. You let the giant bully you and abuse you, and you will not get the help of the Lord on it. You won't get the help of the brethren on it. You will not fight it. And you know what? I have known so many people, not so many people, but I've known people. There's one of them in the hospital right now. That rather than facing their giant, they will kill themselves. And I don't know what your giant is, but you're either going to be the death of it or it's going to be the death of you. There's this guy who went up to the hospital and he has tubes sticking out of him in my age. He has a machine breathing for him. His oxygen levels, they're pumping 100% O2 into his lungs, and you see the oxygen level. It's around 90, it should be at like 126 or something, and then he coughs and it goes from 90 in 5 seconds and it drops down to 50 and blood starts coming out and the nurses are like, "Oh no, he's going, and the mother starts crying, and he survives, he's still alive, but I don't know if he'll ever wake up. And you know why he's in that position? Because he would never face his giant. And every time I talked to him, I said, "Listen, you have to take accountability. You have to face this giant. You have to change. You got to stop being the victim to the giant." And you know what he did when he's faced with the giant and the giant comes knocking at the door and consequences start happening for your actions? You know what he did? He took a bunch of pills. You know what Saul did? He fell on his sword. I want you to know, do not go through life without fighting your giant. Do not go through life without trying to defeat him. Do not get to the end of your life and die because of that giant when God would have took care of it if you just faced him. I remember when I was a little boy, I don't know what in the world my dad was thinking, but we had these two teenagers move in with us, and I was about 7, and one of them was about 13, and the other one was about 12, and I am convinced to this day they were children of the devil, of Belial. And one day, they lived with us for a little while, and one day they had me in the corner, and we had one of those chairs that spin in circles. And they went around and got me all dizzy, and then they got a pair of green 10 steps, and they said, "Hey, you stupid little kid, you know what we're going to do? We're going to cut off your fingers." And they grabbed my fingers and pull it out and put the snips there, and I started hollering, and my dad bursts in through the door and he says, "Hey, what do you think you're doing, you bunch of numbskulls? You leave my son alone and get out of my house and don't ever come back. And I don't care if you're in the middle of the woods, in the middle of nowhere, and your mama's in Washington. I don't care if you die beside the road. Get out of my house and don't ever come back because I will kill you." And he said to me, "Has they ever done something like that before?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Why didn't you tell me?" He said, "I've hated them kids. I've been looking for a reason to get them out of our life and get them out of this house and kick them out. All I need you to do is ask me and say something, and I will be there for your defense, and I will help you destroy them. You'll never have to worry about them again. I'll protect you from them. And you know what the Lord will do? He will help you, absolutely help you, to destroy your giant. You don't believe it? Go ahead. Fall on your sword and let your giant get at you. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and there's victory in the Lord. Amen?